I think it's significant in a very long-term sense in that China is slowly attempting to internationalize the renminbi one very small step at a time. I do not think it has any immediate significance on the Australian dollar any more than it had a significance when there was the announcement of the convertibility directly between the renminbi and the yen not too long ago. I think ultimately, in order for this to be something that is tremendously significant in terms of currency market flows, the renminbi must be a much more viably convertible currency. It has to be tradable openly. Now, of course, we already look at the Australian dollar as somewhat of a proxy for what's going on in the Chinese economy, not necessarily the renminbi itself, because, of course, the renminbi itself is not so convertible. Because of the very important trade links between Australia and China, doing something like this, I think, would only further make for the Australian dollar as a good proxy for Chinese growth trends. But that's largely already there. So I don't see this as being anything tectonically different from what we're already looking at.
How significant is it symbolically that the Australian dollar has been selected by China as only the third currency after the US dollar and yen and before the euro to be directly convertible?
I think it makes perfect sense. I don't think it's necessarily something that surprises anyone because, of course, Australia is an absolutely crucial trading partner for China. And I don't think anybody is really in a hurry in China to create convertibility with the euro, given the instability in the euro area that, of course, we've been following for some years now. If you look at the currencies with direct convertibility that you just mentioned, the yen, the dollar, now the Aussie, you're looking at currencies of China's leading partners in terms of international trade. So it makes perfect sense. In a sense, this announcement follows on from what is already economic reality rather than setting a new economic reality.
How large is this trade likely to be, and how large both in absolute and relative terms to general currency trade in the Australian dollar, for instance?
Well, the Australian dollar overall has really grown in volume. If you look at the latest figures from the Bank of International Settlements, the turnover in the Australian dollar has really picked up over the past several years. It's now, as of the latest figures from the Bank of International Settlements, the fourth largest transacted currency in the markets overall, which would make it more so actively traded than some of the currencies we might think of sort of as the majors. In fact, it's more so traded, for example, than the Swiss franc, which historically was one of the four top major currencies. I don't think that the move with China will necessarily change that trajectory or necessarily accelerate it. I think that there's already a tremendous amount of business that's being done with Australia and China, and I don't think the creation of this direct convertibility is going to necessarily amplify those volumes near term. Again, it's something that is a barrier that's now been removed that will be helpful longer term in terms of reducing transaction costs and making sure that the relationship between China and Australia remains strong on the trade side of things. But I don't think it's anything that we can look for to have any kind of near-term one-off impact.
in terms of those benefits, what are the practical benefits in both the short and longer term of this move to direct convertibility?
Well, from the perspective of the firms on either side of the international trade equation here, obviously the benefit is lower transaction cost. So now that you can convert the Aussie, or once this announcement is made and you'll be able to convert the Aussie directly into renminbi, you won't have to take the additional step of converting into dollars in between those steps. And so the additional cost of the intermediate transaction will be gone. That, of course, is helpful in that it becomes cheaper for businesses to do what it is that they do, and of course makes it easier to grow business, to grow volumes, as any reduction in transaction cost might.
Roughly how much cheaper?
It would be difficult to tell until we actually see these volumes and to what extent this actually happens. But obviously, it's going to depend very, very much so on how these various companies do their transacting. Obviously, spot FX is not a centralized market, so there's not a fixed cost for converting the Aussie into the U.S. dollar and then the U.S. dollar into the renminbi. So you can't really put your finger on it and say, well, here is the fixed cost. What you would have to do is look at what spreads an individual business, what kind of transaction cost, what kind of commission, if you will, they're getting from the banks that they deal with. And then over time, as you kind of gather the historical data on this, you could see what kind of positive impact you've seen from the transaction cost. But it would be very difficult to put a firm number on it without sort of making very broad assumptions about market conditions that wouldn't really be very realistic to make.
And of course, there are only two Australian banks initially that will be authorized to do the trade in China.
Right. That's correct. But that's not, again, altogether unusual. There's basically four major banks that you really could entrust with doing this kind of volume. In fact, if you take a look at just the ASX market capitalization and take a look at which firms make up most of it, the overwhelming majority of the ASX is for financials and mining, and of those financials, something like a quarter or a fifth of the entire sector is for banks. So there's really only so many large Australian financial institutions that could handle this kind of volume. So that's not altogether unusual.